Greetings, everyone, and welcome to episode 113 of Teaching Tales, the podcast totally devoted to sharing stories from the world of education. Once again, I am your host, Brent Coley, an elementary educator in beautiful Southern California, where it's finally stopped raining. For those who are listening in California, you're like, yeah, like the whole state's underwater right now. But I'm super excited. Joining me today is the one, the only, Tisha Richmond. Tisha, how are you?
Hello. Thanks for having me on the show. It's great to chat with you.
Absolutely. You and I, I've been following your work for a long time on Twitter, but just a few weeks ago, I got to meet you in person at the Spring Q conference in Palm Springs. We sat next to each other at the Meet the Podcasters little session. And before I get all into that, let's introduce yourself. I mean, I could talk about you, but you're going to do a much better job of that than I would. So tell anyone listening, who is Tisha Richmond? Like, who are you? What's your background? How'd you get an education, et cetera?
Sure. Well, first of all, it was so fun to finally meet you at Spring Q. I have been following you for a long time as well. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you're here. That's so fun. So that was a great time. So I am Tisha Richmond. I have been in education around 25-ish years. I started out as a culinary arts teacher, taught some interior design in there. And I started out actually in Southern California. My first 5 years of teaching was at a school called San Pascual High School in Escondido. Mm-hmm. And then I was thinking it's fairly close to you.
Yep.
You probably maybe even compete in sports. I don't know, in that area.
I was in Encinitas in Solana Beach in high school, but I am aware of San Pascual. Yes.
Fantastic. So started there, moved to Oregon. Now I live in a town called Medford, right over the Siskiyou Mountains in Southern Oregon, and taught there. So all in all, over 20 years of teaching culinary arts, interior design as a current technical ed teacher. Loved it. Just had the best time, and really am so grateful for all of those years of teaching. And then I moved into a district role as a tech integration specialist. And so in that role, I supported teachers in 20 schools throughout our district in integrating tech into classroom learning. And I loved it. I was in that role all the way through COVID. So I had the joy of rolling out a learning management system to all schools in a time of crisis, which was a very large learning experience for me. Lots of mistakes and struggles, but lots of learning, and was grateful for that time that I had to support our teachers. And then moved into a student engagement and professional development role, where I again supported the 20 schools in my district to really help increase student engagement and really, I think more importantly, empower students in the learning process and help provide professional development to our teachers. I helped design our first kind of, it was like in-service week conference day, which gave teachers a lot of choice in what they learned, which was really fun. And now I am splitting my role, still in that role as a student engagement and professional development specialist, but also a Canva learning consultant. So in that role, what I do is I provide professional development to districts that onboard Canva for Education. So Canva for Education is a free platform. It's a visual communications all-in-one tool. And Canva for Education will roster entire districts for free. And then once that rostering is done and get connected with the single sign-on and learning management systems and such, then they pass the baton to me or one of the other Canva learning consultants to provide that professional development to get everybody just onboarded and really just, I guess, learn how to effectively use the tool to empower students in learning. And that's the ultimate goal. Is it's great to as educators to make stuff, you know, to make the buttons, banners and all the things. But what is really powerful is when we can actually get our students empowered and using the tool to demonstrate their learning in various ways. And so that's kind of where I come in that role. And I've, you know, had the honor of writing a book for Dave Burgess Consulting Incorporated in 2018 called Make Learning Magical. And so that has been an amazing adventure too, just getting to share my story, my manifesto, and then be able to present and speak and and hold workshops for districts and conferences, you know, across the nation and world, to pass that message on. So I'm so grateful. It's been an amazing adventure, and it's still going. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, there's so many things to unpack there. I mean, first of all, Canva is the best. I mean, our district has incorporated Canva. We're a Canva district. We're got the single sign on and everything. And I think the whole, what was it, Canva Create a week or so ago when they unveiled all the AI stuff. It's like just mind blown with what you can do with that platform. But like you said, when you see what students, it's neat for us to make the Facebook images and stuff like that and the banners, but when you see students creating with it, that's, I still remember when I was as an elementary principal going into a fifth grade classroom when we had first started adopting it and watching the teacher just let the kids just explore and what they were, even without organized a PD on it, just let them play with it. And
yes.
It was super, super cool. And just your role during the pandemic as the digital support specialist. I mean, I know John Fox, if you're listening to this, like he's our district ed tech guru, and we just couldn't have done it without people like you and with John and people. It's just unbelievable. So thank you on behalf of someone who doesn't work in your district. I know what it was like as a principal who's kind of techie, who was like, I was doing that on site all the time, but imagine having to do it for an entire district and roll out the LMS and all that kind of stuff. So that, kudos to you. Well, and you mentioned a couple times, you mentioned your book, and which, oh, well, I want you to have an opportunity to talk about that kind of toward the end. I definitely want you to talk about that. But you've mentioned the word making learning magical. You've made it engage. You've mentioned engagement, which I'm such a huge, huge proponent of, but joy. And that's kind of the topic. I know you've got a new podcast as well on the topic. So kind of the title of this episode is Finding and Creating Joy in What We Do. And in my limited getting to talk with you so far, it's like you exude it, which is just awesome. And I think that that's so important. But why is joy a topic that you've chosen to write about, do a podcast about? Like, what is it about joy for you?
Right. Well, the main reason it's so near and dear to my heart is there was a time in my educational career that I was void of joy. I was not feeling it. And I had this sign, when I talk about this often, that was by my door to my classroom. So as students were exiting the door, it was off to the right. It was a Julia Child's quote, because of course I was a culinary arts teacher, and it said, above all, have a good time. And so there was a moment in my teaching career that it was a prep, and I was in my classroom by myself, and I looked at that sign, and I just had this awful sinking feeling. And I realized in that moment that here I have this sign right by my door that above all, I want my students to have a good time learning. And yet I wasn't finding that joy in teaching. I wasn't having a good time. And so that was one of those catalyst moments for me. It was in 2014. And there were a lot of kind of catalyst moments that year that really kind of propelled me into this new journey of really finding joy in teaching and really helping students find joy in learning. And that is why it's so important to me, because I was at a kind of at a crossroads in that year where I was really contemplating leaving education. I would come home and I would tell my husband, like, I just don't know if I can continue doing this. I mean, I felt like my students were learning. I had everything dialed in. I'd been teaching for a long time. I had all the unit plans, all the lesson plans mapped out, but I wasn't really finding joy in it anymore. And so as I really transformed what teaching looked like for me, and I really started to find that joy again, and I really started to create experiences for my students that really not only engaged them, but empowered them, I realized, wow, like I want to be able to share this journey with others, because maybe I can just save that teacher who is really feeling that same, those same emotions and the same feelings I did, really wanting to leave education. Maybe I can help encourage those teachers to find that joy.
Mm. And I think there's never been a time in education, definitely in our lives, where this has never before been as important a topic, because what you said you experienced, anyone listening right now, I mean, if they're not feeling it themselves, I pretty much can guarantee they know somebody who is, because even pre-pandemic, but even coming out of the pandemic, it's a different world in education. And I know that the last 9 years I was an elementary principal, I've moved into a district support role where I support all of our schools now. But I jokingly, but not joking, but in all seriousness, that my job for the last like 3 or 4 years was to support them to make sure they didn't quit. I mean, just because it was a real thing. Like what you just described was like, I don't know, I'm debating leaving. Like that's a real thing, because the challenges that teachers are facing right now, and for administrators listening, admin, who are just kind of like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. So to do it's too hard a job to do it without joy. It's absolutely too hard a job to do it without, if you're not enjoying what you're doing. And I love how you said, I think we're very alike in that you want to share that. And that's why you wrote your book. That's why you have your podcast. That's why we're having this discussion now on my podcast, is because if this conversation can help one person find some joy and not leave the profession, that's a good thing. So how did, like, when you came to that crossroads and you're having the conversation with yourself and with your husband, like, I don't know if I can do this, like, what were some of the ways that you found some joy and that helped create some joy in what you do?
Yeah, well, it's kind of an interesting story. That same year that I had that moment, I was in the process of having to make decisions on my Carl Perkins funding. So any of you who are not aware of current technical education, we get Carl Perkins funding, and that funding can be used for equipment. It can be used for professional development. And sometimes the goals change, and every, I think, district region does it slightly differently as far as how they allocate those funds. But this particular year, they wanted culinary teachers to kind of do a joint grant, so like be able to all kind of come in this joint purchase, all the culinary teachers in our region. And so the decision was made to purchase iPads and go one-to-one with iPads in the culinary classroom. And that was a time in my district that we were not one-to-one. We did not have one-to-one devices in classrooms. So this was a very new thing for us. And though it sounded kind of intriguing, it was also extremely terrifying for me, because here I am, like, ready to, like, you know, call it quits. And now I have these devices in a culinary arts classroom where I am handing my students chef's knives, and we have hot ovens. And where in the world does an iPad fit into this mix, right? I just didn't know. And so they came in, and I knew that I was going to need professional development. And so I had gone to Johnson & Wales for training on the mother sauces. And I had gone to the Culinary Institute of America to learn, you know, how to make yeast breads. But I hadn't ever really gotten any professional development as far as how to bring innovation and educational technology into my classroom. So I went to my first conference that was around the idea of innovation in ed tech. I went to a conference called iPad Palooza. It was in Austin, Texas. And that was like, it was like another catalyst moment for me that year, where it's like, oh, wow, like there's so many cool things that people are doing right now in education. There's so many ways that we can actually leverage these devices in really exciting ways. And no, I don't see any culinary arts teachers here. However, the things that are being shared, I know it's not going to look exactly the same in my classroom, but I for sure can take some of these ideas and make my own magic with them, right? I can make them my own. And so that was that first little spark of, oh, wow, like there's some exciting things out there that I want to learn more about. So that was one piece, and really starting to innovate, take risks, try things that I'd never tried before. Another piece was getting connected. At that same conference, they were sharing Twitter handles, people were sharing resources. And again, I'm like, what? Like, I think I had a Twitter account at the time. I didn't understand it, but I wanted to follow some of these people that I was learning from. And so I started following people and started getting the resources. And that began my connected educator journey. And so I started realizing, wow, like I can learn and connect with people from all around the world. And yes, they may not teach exactly what I teach, but I can take those ideas and I can make them my own. And maybe even I can start sharing some of the things I'm doing in my classroom, and maybe that is going to help benefit others. And so that was a really finding my people, finding those people that inspired me, challenged me, and it's just led me to so many incredible friendships and so much learning. Like I can't even begin to tell you how much it's changed my whole, it's changed my life, really, like not only educationally and as a leader, but also personally. Like I saw my best friends,
yeah,
people that I met online, yeah, and Twitter, you know, it's absolutely wild. And then I think also just really reflecting on my why, and why do I do what I do? What is the whole purpose and passion behind my role in education and teaching, and really not only like really reflecting and thinking about what that was, but reflecting on it often and really remembering on those hard days, on those days where I maybe am really struggling to find that joy. What is the purpose behind what I'm doing? I think that that's really important. So I think those were some key things. And then I think joy is contagious, learning is contagious, innovation is contagious. So the more that you continue to learn, the more that you innovate, the more that you surround yourself with people that are inspiring you and challenging you, the more that joy grows, right? And it's not like it's like the joy is here and then I can't continually work on it. I think we're always going to have those. It's a roller coaster, right? Life is a roller coaster. We have those ups and have those downs, but those are definitely some of those pivotal pieces that really, I think, really brought the joy into my teaching career.
Yeah. No, I jotted down what you're saying there. And we're on Zoom right now and you can see me nodding my head as you're talking. It's like, you mentioned like going to that conference. I mean, like for me, that's been Q. That's my tribe. I've been going to that conference for over 20 years, probably getting closer to 25 years. And like you said, it's like there's people. That's why I loved a couple of weeks ago at the Spring Q conference, because you get to see your friends, putting those in quotes. But it's like people that you see once a year, but they're still, you feel like these are really good friends, like, because I've learned from them, I interact with them. And that's just kind of what technology has done to our world, in that you can have really close friendships with people that you don't see all the time. I 1000% agree with you that I have learned more. To be able to learn from people online via Twitter, I would say is probably more learning that's taken place on Twitter than in all the organized professional development that I've ever like combined. Because if you think about all the millions of people who, if they're doing what you and I have chosen to do, which is I'm going to be on here for the right reason. I'm not on there to talk politics. I'm on there to learn and share and be shared with from other people. And it's a treasure trove of good stuff there.
Absolutely.
And just your joy is contagious. I mean, that just gave me chills, because it's true. When you choose to find the joy in things, it makes other people want to be around. I mean, like, I don't like to be around grumpy people. Nobody likes to be around grumpy people. But when people, when you're joyful or other people, it's like, I want to hang out with that person. I want to hang out with Tisha because she's full of joy. I mean, so I love that reminder that joy is contagious.
Thank you. Well, you know what? I wanted to just share with you a story. I was in London this past week for BET 23, which is a big it's the largest ed tech trade show in the world. And I was there on behalf of Canva for Education, but I was able to go a couple days early with my friend and co-host to the Spark Joy and EDU podcast, Liz Bostwick. And the day that we were exploring London, it was really dreary and rainy and it was cold, you know? And so, you know, you could have focused on that, right? Like of all the days, we're in London, it's dreary, it's raining, it's cold, and I may not have brought the right jacket, like all of the things, right? But we were walking, we'd gotten off the subway and we were walking across this park, and I should know the name of it, I don't know, but it was right leading to the palace, right? And the whole field was just full of daffodils. And it immediately reminded me of my grandpa, because my grandpa had always recited this poem to me as I was growing up that was about the daffodils. And I actually have the sign. Taken a picture of it this morning because it's on my wall. And I was thinking in that moment, you know, like that, we have a choice of what we're going to focus mm-hmm. on. I could have focused on the rain and the dreariness and the fact that I didn't have the right jacket on, or I could focus on the fact that I am in London with a friend that lives across the nation that I never get to see face to face. And I am in a field of daffodils walking to the palace, right? Like those are the things that I'm going to focus on. And I think like how often am I walking to the palace in London? So that is a rare example, but I think it comes to mind because it was so recent and it was something that Liz and I talked about in that moment, you know, that we have a choice on what we focus on. And I am so like, my heart is so like filled with warmth thinking of that moment. And the quote that I have that reminds me of my grandpa, it was a William Wordsworth poem. And it says, "My heart with pleasure fills and dances with the daffodils." And I have it hanging in my living room and it always reminds me of him. But I think that that's an important reminder in any day, wherever you are. It could just be your way to work. It can be your way home from work. It can be, you know, on your walk. If you take a walk in the afternoon or in the morning, but like, how can you find the joy in that moment? There's always going to be the negative out there, right? But there's always the joy as well.
Yeah. No, I absolutely love that. And once again, for people who are listening right now, I say this a lot. It's kind of like, even if no one's listening right now, Tisha, I'm getting something out of our conversation. But I'm sure there's at least one person listening who is thinking like, yeah, it is a choice. And as I was listening to your Spark Joy and EDU podcast on the way home from Q, what you said reminded me of something you were talking about in your episode, and it reminded of me that we can choose to look for the joy. And like you said, the rain in London, it's cold, I don't have the right jacket. Yes, all true, but do we dwell on that, or do you look at the positives? And what it reminded me of is, for the last 9 years, I was a principal of an elementary school. 9 of the absolute best years of my career. Was it hard? Oh, yeah. Dealing with discipline and parent complaints and facilities issues and teacher shortages. And it's like, absolutely. I could choose to focus on that, or I could choose to focus on the high fives, the knee-high hugs from kindergartners, the ability to ride tricycles with kindergartners during breaks, the ability to go out and shoot hoops with fifth graders during recess or lunch, the ability to connect with parents at the drop-off loop, which can be a pain sometimes when you have to be out at the drop-off loop, especially when it's raining. But, and I say all of that because, you know what? Right now in my new role, I don't have that opportunity. I am no longer at the site. I don't get the knee-high hugs from kindergartners. I don't get the high fives from third and fourth graders. I don't have the opportunity to connect with parents in the drop-off loop. I don't get to ride tricycles. I don't get to shoot hoops with fifth graders unless I'm out at sites visiting visiting school sites. But it's like, it was a reminder that we need to choose those joy moments, the things that bring us joy in our things, because honestly, not to be too overdramatic, but it's like, you might not have that forever, because like, I'm living it right now. And my new role, it's like, I know I'm making an impact. I'm supporting in a different way. It was much in the same way when I left the classroom to become an administrator. Yeah, you don't have that same connection that you do with students, but look for that joy. Because in my experience right now, like, some of the things that I did find joy in, I don't have anymore. So now I'm having to look for joy in different ways, which can be a challenge sometimes. But going back to what you said, it's a choice. We can choose to dwell on the negative or dwell on the positive. And just being transparent, I mean, there are days when I don't do a great job of choosing to look at the joy. I mean, sometimes it's easier. It's easier sometimes to dwell on the, oh, woe is me, Eeyore moments. So I don't know if you've ever experienced that, where it's like, it can be easy.
No, I 100% agree with you. It's so true. And I think it's so important that we surround ourselves with people who are also finding joy in things, because sometimes if we are continually surrounding ourselves with people that are always finding the negative, right? And having a hard time finding that joy, it's really easy to get kind of sucked into that mindset and that mentality. And sometimes, I mean, we can't always.
It's life. Yeah.
Right. But I think that you to find those people, right? And sometimes it may not be in your grade level team, or it may not be in your building, right? Yeah. Like, and so where else can you find those people? And for me, it has been Twitter. It has been finding my tribe that are in other places. I have my tribe locally too, and in my own district for sure. But, you know, there are always people that are out there to connect with that are going to be that support, that inspiration to you, that will help you to remember to look for the joy.
Yeah. Yeah. As you're saying that, it's so true to find those people. And I love how you said it may not be the person in your building. It may not be somebody that you see in person at all. I mean, as you're saying that, I mean, I just shout out to John Eich. If John is listening to this, I don't know, Tisha, if you know who John Eich is. He's one of my friends, an online friend that I've probably only seen in person three or four times, but we communicate via Twitter, via text, via Voxer, and he is full of joy. And he is one of those people that just every time I hear his voice, it lifts my spirits. And imagine if, to your point, what if we could be that person for somebody else? And not what if, we can be that person for somebody else. And somebody needs us to be the John Eich for them. And we all have the ability to do that. So...
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And one more thing, I want to honor your time. I don't want to keep you too much, but one of the things that I was reminded of, again, I was listening to your podcast, which I'm going to have you talk about in just a second, because I want others to be able to enjoy that too. But it reminded me of, because I was born and raised in Southern California. And when I was 21, my dad got a job in Minnesota, Eden Prairie, Minnesota. So they moved to Minnesota, and my parents, my mom and dad, they flew out a little bit early. And my brother and I, we were going to drive out in one of the cars a few days later. So we started making the trek from San Diego, California, out to Minnesota. It was a five-day journey, staying in hotels each night. And the weirdest thing happened as somebody who spent his whole life in Southern California. As we started moving east into the Midwest, and every time we stopped for gas, every time we went into a restaurant for food, we were struck, my brother and I were struck by one thing. Everybody was so friendly. Like almost, and this, it's terrible, but it was almost, I was suspicious. Like you, right. You'd walk into, I mean, it's like, man, how jaded am I from Southern California? But you'd walk, I vividly remember one of the gas stations, like I'm walking in and the guy's like, hey, how you doing today? And I'm like, whoa, like, what, why do you need to, I just need to get some gas. And he was just like genuinely friendly, genuinely full of joy. And it wasn't an isolated thing. It's like the farther east I got into the Midwest, people were just full of joy and friendliness. And when I got to Minnesota, it's like there was just, and it struck me as I was listening to your episode, I remembered that. And it gave me the question, like, what if we were all like that? What if we made the choice to make our classrooms like that, where that gas station in Iowa or wherever it was, when students came in each morning, if we were like, hey, how you doing? And not fake, but because kids can tell fake. But if we chose to be like that on a daily basis, and we almost made our kids suspicious, like, whoa, what's different about Brent? What's different about Tisha? I mean, but if it was genuine choosing joy, how much different could our world be if we all chose to be like the gas stations in the Midwest that I experienced? And I think it could be.
Totally. No, I have a story, and I share this in one of my messages, that I was in Spokane, Washington. I was heading to a family consumer science conference, and I don't know what happened to my flight. It was just one of those just flight days that nothing quite matched up the way that it was supposed to. And it really shouldn't have been that far of a flight for me, because I live in Medford, Oregon. So I'm sure that I transferred in Seattle and then flew to Spokane, but I think I missed a connection. I don't know. But I got to the hotel much later than I had anticipated. And so I remember just being really hungry and just tired and, you know, all of the things. And I remember walking up to that hotel counter, and I just really wanted my key, but I was hungry. And so it was like, do I eat? Do I just call it a night? I walk up to the hotel counter, and this man had this the largest smile on his face. And he, just like you said, just greeted me. How are you? How is your day going? You know, where are you coming from? And I said, just kind of explained. It had been a long day and I was hungry. He says, okay, here are the restaurants that you need to go to, because they have really great service. You're going to get what you need really quick, but it's great food. You'll be able to get in and out. And then right as I was about ready to leave the counter, he pulls out this deck of cards, and he asked me, do you want to see a magic trick? I'm at the, I'm checking into my hotel, and there was no one behind me, right? I was the only one in line. And so he proceeds to show me this magic trick, and it was amazing. And I had him show it to me again, And as I was walking away, I thought, wow, like, what a difference that interaction made. Like, here I was, tired, hungry, just all of the negative emotions happening. And I walked away with a smile on my face. I actually kind of forgot that I was hungry. And I think about that in relation to our classrooms. And what if we greet our students at the door with a warm welcome? What if we have an engaging hook for them, right, when we start our lessons? And what if we did that? And I know I taught culinary arts, so I had things coming out of the ovens between classes. Like, there was all sorts of madness happening all of the time. And the reality was, there were days where I wasn't able to stand by my door because there was something else happening that kept my attention. So I understand the reality of that. However, every time that I possibly could, I'd be standing at that door because I wanted the students to see me as they walked into the class. I wanted them to hear me call them by name. I wanted them to hear me like ask how they were. And I wanted that to be that first interaction into my class that day. And it made a world of difference. Yeah. I'll tell you the difference between the days where I did that and the days that I didn't were night and day. And I know that students appreciated it. So I think I think we have a lot to learn from those.
Yeah.
Those experiences, for sure.
Yeah, because you know that our students are coming to class tired, hungry, had a fight at home before they got there. If you're in a leadership position, you know that the parents that are dropping their kids off are tired, are hungry, maybe had a fight at home before they... I mean, it's like, you know, because that's the world in which we live. And, I mean, that's what I'm taking from this, is just a great reminder that we have the power to... And it doesn't have to be a magic trick. I mean, which is cool. I mean, it's like, I would have loved that. But it's like, just like you said, standing at the door. Yes, there won't be the reality of the situations where, yeah, sometimes. But if you can be intentional about that, that's what sets the tone for your classroom. And that's why, as a principal, it's like just me being out in the front loop every morning. Yep. Greeting kids, high-fiving them. Hey, happy Monday. It's great to see you. I mean, like, those are the types of things that I think that they will remember more than the lesson on long division.
Absolutely. My husband's a principal in one of our local elementary schools, and this is his first full year. He was a vice principal last year, but a principal this year. And he does crossing guard duty, and it's freezing outside. He's putting on a winter coat, but he has had so many people approach him and say, thank you for staying inside. I think it's made such a difference that he's been out there to greet parents, that he's been out there greeting kids, you know, and it doesn't, you know, those things go a long, long way.
Yeah.
We can't ever meet the power of that.
Yeah. Parents used to tell me all the time, thanks for being out here every day. And it was such a reminder. It's like, you can view that as, I have to be out there every day, or you can view it as, I get to be out there every day. And right now, in my new role, I miss getting to be out there every day because I'm not able to do that anymore. So, wow, Tisha, once again, if no one's listening to this, thank you, because I got something out of it. This is a great, great reminder. So, but I'm sure folks are going to get something out of this too. Just a great reminder that we can choose to focus on the good, because there's plenty of bad to focus on, but we don't have to dwell on that. So, before we go, for anyone who is, I want you to a moment to plug your podcasts and your book again. And if someone wants to connect with you, how can they do so?
Absolutely. So I am on Twitter a lot. That is probably my platform of choice. You can find me at Tish Rich there. So feel free to reach out. Always happy to connect. I'm Tish Richmond on Instagram. You can find me on LinkedIn, on Facebook, all the other places as well. And I have a website called TishaRichmond.com. And so I have resources there. I have lots of blog posts from over the years that I have as well. And you can also learn about my speaking. I love to speak. And so you can find more information there as well. And then you can find both my Make Learning Magical and Spark Joy in EDU podcast on all of the platforms.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to continue to listen to your podcast. I'm going to continue to learn from you and be inspired and help spark the joyful choices. So thank you, Tisha. I really am glad that we were finally able to connect in person at Q, and hopefully, if not before, I'll see you there again next year in Palm Springs. So, and for everyone listening, thank you. Thank you for listening. I hope you got something out of this. If you haven't already done so, Remember to subscribe so that new episodes will automatically find their way to your device or your computer. Or you can listen directly on my website on the podcast page at brentcoley.com. Once again, thanks everyone. Have a great day. And until next time, have a good one.